Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast. This is Pastor Derry. Today's message is titled, New Year, New Me, Part 3, Running Your Race. In John chapter 21, the disciples have lost their momentum and decided to return to fishing. After toiling all night and being unsuccessful in this task, the resurrected Jesus appears and restores them to their new identity and their God-called mission. This is a lot like all of us, so you want to listen in, take notes, and I will talk with you at the end of the broadcast.
Thank you that today will be a day that you speak to your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn your Bible to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. A new year, a new me. Praise the Lord. Amen. A new year, a new me. When Jesus' disciples found themselves having not only seen Jesus die, having seen Jesus raised from the dead, they didn't know what to do with it. They saw it with their own eyes. Their faith was there that Jesus said he was going to raise, and he indeed did raise. He showed himself to them multiple times, but still they didn't know what to do. And so when John chapter 21 comes about, they have had this full experience. Jesus showed himself to his disciples multiple times, and we're going to read a lot of this chapter, so I want you to listen very close, because it has to do with you being new. Amen. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. In other words, he showed himself, but he did it different than he ever did it before. So I want you to see this way that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. This is really great stuff here. Watch this. Verse 2. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Listen, this is great. This is so great because Jesus comes. Jesus appears. Jesus walks with them for 3.5 years with his disciples. They go in and out of every place. They see Jesus heal the sick, raise the dead, do all kinds of stuff. They see Jesus stand in front of Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders of the time, and totally confound them with his words. They see all of that. Jesus tells them that he's going to die. He indeed does die. He then raises from the dead and shows up and appears to his disciples multiple times. And after all of that, they went right back where he found them. Remember, Peter was a fisherman, and Jesus came to him and said, look, Peter, guess what? You're right now a fisherman. I'm going to make you fishers of men. But when Jesus was not in the picture, he wasn't physically there, what did he do? He defaulted back to what he used to do. Simon Peter said to them, I don't know what we're supposed to do next, so I'm going fishing. That was his occupation. That's what he used to do. That's what he was when Jesus found him. That's what he actually walked away from. The sons of Zebedee were with him, James and John. And the Bible says that when they found out their father was their partner in business, they left their father and the other workers. They left them there and they walked and they followed Jesus. They walked away from the family business to follow Jesus. And now 3.5 years later, here they are going right back to it. What happened? What happened to them is what happens to every believer. At a certain point, you're going to get hit with a season in your faith. We're going to lose your sense of purpose about why you are a Christian. At a certain point in your life, you're going to get to that point where you, I've done all this. I've done all that. You know what? I was with Jesus. I walked the mountains with Jesus. I was there when he did this. And you got all kinds of great, wonderful stories about what used to happen when Jesus was with us. But one day, you're going to find yourself fishing again. You might wake up one day and realize, man, I'm fishing again. I used to be a fisherman and Jesus pulled me out of that. And now here I've gravitated right back to fishing again. Woo-wee. Selah. That means pause and think about that. And here's the worst part about it. When he went back to fishing, he caught nothing. Went right back to fishing where Jesus delivered him from, pulled him out of that. And when he went back, what did he do? He got right back to where Jesus found him. If you rewind the tape in your mind about your Bible, you remember that when Peter first meets Jesus, they've been out toiling all night. And Jesus asked Peter, can I use your boat? And he says, yeah, you might as well use your boat because we've been fishing all night and we haven't caught nothing. So you might as well just use our boat. And when Jesus gets on the boat with them, all of a sudden he says, now go over here and cast your net. They said, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught anything. He said, I'm not a fisherman, but if you drop your nets over there. And when they did, they caught all these fish so much so that their boat almost sunk because of what they caught at the words of Jesus, who wasn't a fisherman, but knew how to fish. So here he is right back where he was before, all the way cycled, all the way back around 3 years ago. I was there. Now I'm right back here. I'm right back in the same boat. I'm right here in the same place. And I'm fishing once again, and I have caught nothing. Wow, man. Verse 4. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. They spent time with him, but they didn't even recognize him. Verse 5, then Jesus said to them, children, do you have any food? And they said, no. We spend time with God and we start entering into things and we start moving with God. And all of a sudden we get into dry spaces, time we've been doing things. And now we start to feel dry. We feel tired and we start getting to that place where somebody asks us, do you have something? And we say, I don't have anything to give. Remember, the disciples had been with Jesus with 2 fish and 5 loaves. And Jesus told them, you feed the people with this little that you have. And they fed the people. They worked a miracle and their faith soared. But all of a sudden, right now, they're right back to where they were. Children, do you have any food? Nope. We've got nothing. Sometimes you feel like your Christian walk, you've sacrificed or you've done things and you could have did this or could have did that. And then you feel like all of a sudden, man, I got nothing for this. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
We got to deal. If you're going to be a new you, you got to deal with the old you. Amen. You can't become a new you and not face the old you. And every believer is going to hit a season where you get to that dry space. Verse 6. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Ooh, man. Cast your net on the right side of the boat. Now, when Jesus told them that the first time 3 years before, they argued with him. We've been fishing all night. We caught nothing. We've been fishing all night. Something as simple as put the net on the right side, that's all it's going to take? Yes, put the net on the right side of the boat. It doesn't make a difference where the net is going. It makes a difference that Jesus told him to do it. When Jesus tells us to do something, if we can listen to Jesus, than what we toiled for all night and couldn't fix, he can fix with one command. He can fix one instruction. One instruction is all it takes. And it doesn't have to be a hard instruction. It doesn't have to be come in and change your bait. It doesn't have to be come in and we're going to reformat. We're going to get a strategy. We're going to put two bolts over here, two bolts over there. Then we're going to get a stick of dynamite and throw it in the water. No, it doesn't have to be hard or complex. It just needs to be what God said. What Jesus said. What Jesus said makes a difference. Verse 7. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with what?
Amen. Amen.
So you've been fishing all night long and catching nothing. And in the time it takes for Peter to see that it's the Lord, put on his clothes, jump in the water and start swimming, the other disciples have caught enough fish that they're dragging the net. I want y'all to process what I'm telling you. You've been trying something all night long, and in the time it takes for somebody to jump in the water, these guys have got a net full of fish when they've been fishing all night. Just like that. Just like that. Why is this important? Because God is no respecter of persons. What God does for them, he will do for us. Amen? Verse 8, but the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land. Not only that, they weren't far from the land. They were near the shore. They were near the shore, threw the net, and had all these fish. Dragging the net with fish. They couldn't pick it up. They had to drag it. Verse 9. Then as soon as they came to land, they saw a fire on the coals there. Look. And fish laid on it and bread. Process. I'm going to let y'all process this. When they got to the shore, Jesus already had a fire burning and already had the fish that they were carrying in. Where did Jesus get the fish from? The stuff you're asking God for, he already has. Amen. Okay. I want y'all to be with me on this. The stuff you're asking God for, he doesn't have to dig it out of the ground. He already has it. He's not asking you for it. Do you guys have any fish? He didn't ask it, hey, I'm hungry, I need fish. He said, do y'all have any fish? I got what I need. Do you have any? No, we got nothing. Well, let me tell you how to get it. And guess what? If you came to me, I already had it.
That's right.
Amen. Verse 10. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you just caught. And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although they were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, likewise the fish. Now, this is the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now, this is really, really powerful. This is so powerful because this speaks to our Christian lives so strongly. It speaks to our Christian lives so strongly because we know that there's a cycle of transformation. There's a cycle that we all pass through where we go from common information to revelation. They go from revelation to having to put that word to action. And we go from there to standing on it to manifestation. And then we know we're supposed to impart that to other people. We know that cycle of understanding. But what we don't always catch is that when you finish a cycle of maturity, you enter into another one. Once you think you have totally matured, what we don't always process is that we go through these mountaintop experiences where, wow, this is great, and God has done awesome things, and then God takes us right back into a new learning process because God is not willing for you to stay where you are. God's desire is to take you to glory, to glory. From the faith you have today to another faith. God's always trying to grow his people to new levels and new understandings. And when we embrace that, then we fight the desire to sit down. I had a dream one night. And back in the old days, I used to be a runner. And so I had a dream one night. And in the dream, I was running on a track. And on this track, I was running and I was feeling really good. And I just lap after lap after lap after lap. And, I just feeling strong, really strong. And I can feel how strong I feel. And I'm just going around the track over and over and over again. And then all of a sudden I began to get bored. And as I'm running on the track, now my mind is drifting and I'm thinking about all kinds of different things. And then all of a sudden, now I'm starting to feel tired. And I'm like, oh man, now I'm getting tired. And then I say out loud in my dream, Lord, can I rest? And the Lord said, do not rest. And I continued to run and I continued to run. And then I started feeling more tired and more tired. And I said, Lord, can I rest? So the second time I asked the Lord, can I rest? And the Lord said, don't rest. And I said, okay. And I kept running and I kept running and going over around and around. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. I'm so tired. And then all of a sudden, on this track that I've run around all these times, there's a bench. I've been around this track all these times. There's been no bench. All of a sudden, now there's a bench. And I say, Lord, now I don't ask him. I say, Lord, I'm just going to sit down for a minute. And in my dream, I'm running towards the bench. I'm running towards the bench. And as soon as my rear end hits the bench, the track that I've been running around started almost like it was an earthquake. And the track began to grow and turn into a mountain. And all of a sudden, this track that was smooth and I was running all around it, all of a sudden, it starts growing in front of me all of a sudden. And I get up and I try to run because I know I can't run up something that gets too high. And I start running and I can't run. And I woke up. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me so clear. He said, you must obey the Lord, even when it looks like there's an easier way. You must obey the Lord, even when it looks like there's an easier way. You have to obey God because the moment you stop obeying, the time that you thought would help you with rest turns into a mountain that you cannot overcome. So the disciples, they had been living with Jesus and walking with Jesus. And all of a sudden, Peter says, I don't know what to do. So, Lord, I'm just going to go fishing. I'm going to rest. I'm going to go back to what's familiar to me. I don't know what to do next. So I'm just going to go back where I know I can go. A place of rest. Except it's not a place of rest because God pulled us out of that place. Woo, come on. So to understand that in our Christian walk, we want to keep on following after God. Keep on following after God. Even when it gets challenging or difficult, you must stay with the purpose and the things that God shows you because in that place is where your strength is. Even when it feels like it's getting tired, even when you feel like you can't go further, you need to know that Christ is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And if I can continue with God, even though I feel weary, I feel tired, he will lift me up in the middle of my tiredness. In the middle of when I don't feel like fighting no more, I don't feel like doing it anymore, when I don't feel that anymore, I'm not feeling it, that's when I need God to say, yo, don't stop running, because when you stop, you're going to give up. There's something I used to do all the time when I was young in the things of God, and I had a habit that I had. And I would pray, and I would sit down, and I would write. I'd pray, and I would write all the time. It was a habit. And then one day I said, man, I don't have time to write. I'm just going to take 2 days off of writing. I stopped, and I never did it again. You know why? Because what happens is when you stop doing what God tells you to do, the enemy comes and fills in the spaces. And so you have a mindset, I'm going to have a new me, I'm going to change it, I'm doing something new. And you start out to do what God tells you to do. And then when you get tired, when you've done it a few times and you've done it a little bit, when you say, okay, I'm just going to give it a break, then enemy comes and, whew, I'm glad they stopped. Now I can get in here. Let me fill in this space before they start this foolishness again. This dude's writing and getting revelation. Oh, man, I got to shut this down. You're tired. Here's a bench, bro. I didn't know that that bench was going to open the door to something that came to stop me. But that's what happened to the disciples. They took a rest. But then what did Jesus do? He said, children, I know what's going on here. So let me get you going again. Let's look at the next thing. Let me take you to the next level here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for changing this the way you want it. Amen. Thank you. Chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast that Jesus supplied, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? More history to get you up to date on this conversation. When Jesus was crucified, his disciples scattered. And the evening of Jesus' crucifixion, Peter wanted to stay close by, but he was scared. Because if they crucify Jesus, they're going to get me too. Because I've been with Jesus. Not only have I been with Jesus, I'm the disciple who's the loudest one. I'm the one everybody knows, that guy right there. He's that one. And so that night, Peter is sitting by the fire with a bunch of other people. Now, no doubt he probably has himself tried to camouflage. And as everybody's talking, Peter says something. And one of the guys says, you one of those disciples who were with Jesus, weren't you? He says, no, I wasn't. Yeah, you were. Yeah. Matter of fact, I know you were. I've seen you with Jesus before. You one of those disciples. No, I'm not one of those disciples. He said, you are, because your language betrays you. I can hear your accent. You are one of those Galileans who was with Jesus. And Peter not only denies it, he starts cursing. I'm not with Jesus. Blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden he had a remembrance of something Jesus told him. And Jesus told him, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And all of a sudden, after Peter does all this cussing and fussing, he hears the cock crow. And the condemnation comes on him that he's failed the master. He hasn't lived up to what he said he was all about. So now here Jesus is, when Peter has defaulted because of his own condemnation, he's defaulted to rest. And Jesus says, Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? How much love does God have for us that knowing what we're going to do and then seeing us do it still says, I love you enough to show up with you, to pull you out of your hiding place, sit down with you, have a conversation with you, and then give you a chance to let's make this right. Simon Peter, I know you denied me. Do you love me more than these? I know, Simon, I know you betrayed me, but do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. After denying Jesus, Jesus not only comes and gives him a chance to confess his love, he then puts him in position to care for those who can't care for themselves. Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. I'm a grown sheep, not the ones that can take care of themselves. I'm going to commission you to take care of the least, the lambs. I know you betrayed me, but guess what? I love you so much, and I see past your actions, and I see, and I'm going to entrust you with feeding or taking care of that which is most dear to me. Wow. Tell your neighbor, say, I will never again live in condemnation because I know that Jesus loves me and I love him. Praise the Lord. Come on, come on. Verse 16. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend to my sheep. Feed my lambs, tend to my sheep. Once again, I'm calling you, Peter. Verse 17. He said to him the third time. Listen. If you tell somebody you love them, and then they ask you right after you tell them, do you love me? Yes, you know I love you. And then a third time, do you love me? See, here's reality of the human heart. The human heart deals with all kinds of issues. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? But it's not just every single word that we speak that reveals the abundance of the heart. It's the pattern of words that come out of our mouth that reveal the abundance of our heart. Because at any moment, you can answer a question with something that's not true. So it's not just the word that comes out of your mouth that reveals your heart. It's the pattern of what comes out of your mouth that reveals your heart. Because your one word, if I ask you one time, what color is this? And you've already made up your mind, he needs to know it's red. You'll tell me it's red. But if I continue to ask you the same question over and over again, eventually you'll tell me what's really in your heart. When you get the same question over and over and over again, that's what happens when you get interrogated. When the police take somebody in a room and they interrogate you, they're going to ask you the same question over and over and over and over and over and over again. And they wait to see if your story changes. Because when your story changes, we know we got to the heart. So it's not the one word. It's the pattern of words. It's the pattern of what comes out of us that reveals what's in our hearts. How are you doing today? Blessed and highly favored. That's good. How are you doing today? I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you doing today? Pray for me, Pastor. Because our hearts. So Jesus doesn't ask him one time, do you love me? He asks him multiple times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And it's important for Peter to be asked the question because Peter's the one who denied Jesus three times. So Jesus had to ask him three times, do you love me? Because Peter needed to be able to walk away from the conversation confident that Jesus was not his enemy. Look at this. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Interesting thing in the scriptures here, because when you look at this in the original language, the Greek language, what you find out is two things, that there are two different words that are being thrown back and forth between them with love. Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? The word agapeo is a Greek word which means love, and it speaks of love that is complete. We call it agape love. That's where we get that word from. It is a complete love. It's a love without condition. It's a love that nobody has to meet a condition and for me to express the love. So Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter answers, yes, Lord, I phileo you. Phileo is part of a root word that eventually, when you take the expansion of the word, gets to where we get the word phileo, Philadelphia, brotherly love. Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. Philadelphia, phileo. So when Peter answers the question, he says, yes, Lord, I phileo you. I love you like a brother. It reveals that there's two kinds of love. There's brotherly love, and then there's the God kind of love. I have a brotherly love for my flesh and blood brothers. I love those guys. I love those guys. And in that love, it's a love where we could fight or argue about something and then sit down and have a laugh and have a joke right afterwards. It's a love that we love each other because we've been thrust into the same circumstances. We are here together, and guess what? We are shipmates no matter what. And then there are brothers. I had brothers in the Marine Corps, and we were same thing. We were put together. We're shoulder to shoulder. We are brothers. And no matter what, we're brothers. And we will protect each other. We will fight for each other. We are brothers. And that is one of the most awesome kinds of love there is, because you know what? It is great. It is beautiful. But there's another love that goes beyond that. There's a love that goes beyond that, and it is the love that God has for us. And so when God says, love is your new purpose, he's not calling us just to phileo. He's calling us to agapeo, to love without condition. The problem for us is that we have to learn how to accept and understand what that means. What does it mean to love without condition? See, because there's a beautiful thing of phileo love that happens among all of us, and it is great. It is awesome, and I have no condemnation for it at all. It's a form of love. It is great. But God actually has another level of love he wants to take us to. And Peter had that kind of love, because when somebody came after Jesus, you know what Peter did? He pulled out his sword and cut off somebody's ear because he loved Jesus. But even when you love somebody, it doesn't mean that you will do the perfect thing or you'll make every right decision. And even when you phileo somebody, you might betray them, not even because you want to, but just because it's my self-interest. I love you, and I didn't want to hurt you, but I did because it's me or you, and I got to be you today. It's like the two guys that were on a safari, and one of them left some meat outside of the tent, and they heard the lion coming, and the lion starts running, and they, come on, man, they shake each other and start running, and they're running side by side. He said, man, how are we going to get out of this? He said, I don't know. He said, what are we going to do? He said, I don't know. He said, well, man, this is crazy. This lion's getting closer. And the one guy says, All I know is I just have to be one step ahead of you. Think about it. We both running and I love you, but I just know I need to be one step ahead because then the lion gets you and not me. That's phileo love. We love each other. We're going to protect each other. Wake up. We got to run. But while we're running, I love you enough to give us an equal chance. Three times, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you agapeo me?" Two times, Peter says, "Lord, you know I love you like a brother." Do you love me? And he said to them, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him again, "Feed my sheep." And then he gives Peter this next piece of information that's really important to us. And it's important to us because of this. Peter never was able to say, "I agape Jesus." He kept saying phileo because that's all he had revelation of. It's all he understood. So he never could just say, "I agape you. I know what that means," because he couldn't. He was caught into a greatness of humanity, which still falls short of the glory of God. "I love you. I love you. I love you." He confesses, "Lord," he said, "you know all things. I love you." And Jesus says, "Yes, you know what? I do know all things. And I'm giving you again charge of my sheep. Even though I know you don't fully understand agape that I'm trying to give you, I'm still going to put something in your care because I know you're going to get there." See, God doesn't use the perfect or everybody who's just right. God uses those who have the heart to say, "Lord, I love you." Verse 18, "Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and another will guide you where you do not wish to go." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. See, even Peter's death ended up glorifying God when he had been a denier of God. He had been a denier of God, but his death would even glorify Jesus later on. Amen? Man, come on. Don't make no difference where you start, right? It's where you end up. Amen. Verse 19. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." He took him right back to the start. When he told him, "Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men." He took him right back to that place and said, "Follow me again." So what, you fail? So what, you had a bad year? So what happened? Did it make a difference? Follow me today. And now here's the other dynamic. When Jesus tells us to follow him, and we realize that we're in a position to be changed or transform a new way of walking, he's calling us out. He's saying, "Forget yesterday. I forgive yesterday. Yesterday's in the books. Don't worry about yesterday. I've got a new creation life for you right now. There's no need for condemnation. There's no need to feel ashamed. There's no need for feeling any of those things. Walk with me today. Take steps of faith with me. Walk with me right now. Come on, right where you are. So what, you were tired. So what, everything didn't go the way you expected. So what, all those things happened. Now I need you to walk and follow me just like it was the first day you met me." Wow. Just like it was the first day you met Jesus. Let's walk today. Let's pick up today. Let's go with it. Amen. Listen to this. Verse 20. This is the biggest snare in the Christian walk. Verse 20. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" This was John's way of saying, "It was me." This is John's way of saying, "I was watching this exchange between Jesus and Peter. I saw Jesus asking Peter over and over again, 'Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?' Well, I'm the disciple who loved Jesus. I'm the disciple who laid on him. I'm the disciple who was right there with him all the way. I didn't deny him. I'm the one who laid on him. And guess what? And Peter turned around and saw me. Verse 21. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" I want you to understand this, because this is a big, it is. This is by far the most significant challenge that we have in the body of Christ. When Jesus tells me to follow him, sometimes I turn around and see other people. And my question is, Lord, what about them? Lord, what about them? Verse 22. Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." What is it to you if he stays here until I come back? What is that to you? You follow me. See, I have brotherly love for people, and I'm not going to judge Peter's thoughts as to whether Peter was saying, "Lord, what about him? Do you want him to follow too?" Or it was, "Well, Lord, what about him? What is he doing with us?" I don't know which one it was. I don't know, and it doesn't really make a difference which one it was. What it makes a difference is when Jesus says, "Follow me," he's telling you to follow him. You follow me. What is it to you if he's here forever? What is it to you about what somebody else's life? Ultimately, you follow me. Wow. See, here's the powerful thing. Here's the powerful thing about life and Christianity. It's this. If you're going to be new, you can't be worried about what God tells other people to do. If you're going to be new, you can't worry about what God tells other people to do, because that becomes a distraction for you following Jesus. See, if we can just follow Jesus, if we can just follow Jesus, then I don't have to worry about everybody else's decisions. Because some people are not going to love Jesus. Some people are going to not walk with Jesus. Some people are going to be angry with Jesus. Some people are going to have all kinds of different things. But ultimately, Jesus loves me enough to come and says, "You follow me." Jesus comes into our life and he says, "I want you to follow me. You follow me." But the enemy's always going to come around and say, "What about them? What about them?" Guess what? I don't have a full revelation of agapeo. And guess what? Sometimes I'm going to be doing my best to love everybody around me the best I can. But guess what? Sometimes I may not do it right. Because that's why I need Jesus. That's why I need Jesus. So I may not do it just right. I may not do it perfect. I may fall. I may fail. I may do it. I may make a fool of myself. But guess what? When I get up, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to pick up where I am and I'm going to follow Jesus like he told me the first time. If I gone fishing and I caught nothing, then guess what? When I come back, I'm going to just follow Jesus. You may try whatever you try like, and it doesn't work the way you expect it. And life is not going to be perfect the way you always want it to be. But guess what? I am a new creation. And guess what? I have the right and the privilege to come boldly before the throne of grace, confess my faults and my sins and my flaws to the master, me and him directly. Nobody else ever may ever hear that God has forgiven me. But when I'm forgiven, I get a chance to get up and follow Jesus right where I am. And nobody knows, because he was talking to me and not them. That's why I get to be a new creation for 2018. That's why I've been granted the permission to be a new creation without worrying about what I did yesterday. Without replaying all the old tapes of whether I'm good enough or favored enough or highly whatever else. But today is my day. I get up and I follow him today. And while I love everybody else, I'm not worried about whether you follow Jesus. I'm worried about whether I love you. Do I love you? Man. Verse 23. And this is, again, understanding of how things happen. We need to understand. Then this saying went out among the brethren that the disciple would not die. In other words, the people who were onlooking started telling everybody else what they thought they heard and thought they saw, and they passed it on saying, Jesus told John he's never going to die. Y'all ever play the telephone game? Whisper in somebody's ear a statement, and they pass it on to somebody and pass it on, pass it on, pass it on, pass it on, and when it comes back to the person who said it, it don't sound nothing like what they said. Why? Because that's what we do. That's part of our human nature. We're going to pass information on. We're going to pass it on. And when we pass it on, it never comes back the same way that it started. Because we all have filters in our heads. And we all hear what we want to hear. And sometimes when we hear what we wanted to hear, it changes the message till it comes around. There's a guy named Big Maestro. I'm hungry, so I pass it on. They all getting Big Macs. It got filtered. I'm hungry, and so that's what I heard. Did somebody say Big Mac? Then the saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die, yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die. But if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Amen? So John had to say, the message went around. That's not what was said. What was actually said was this. Verse 24, this is the disciple who testifies of these things, and we wrote these things and know that his testimony is true. Quickly, I want you to take your Bible and I want you to open to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to close with this. So let's recap what we talked about real briefly here. The human nature of us as Christians is at a certain point, we look for direction. And when we lose a sense of direction, we default to what we know. When we lose a sense of direction, we will default to what we know. We always try to go back to what we understand. So Peter, in Jesus not being there, he didn't know what to do. So he went back to what he was familiar with, and he took people with him where he was familiar. We all went back to fishing. James and John, they were fishermen. A lot of them had been fishermen. That's where they went back to. They went back to where it was comfortable. Except the problem was when they got back there, they went right back and found out the problems I had when I left are the problems I have right now when I go back where I was. But Jesus steps back into the picture. He brings them, he assures them of his love, and then challenges Peter individually. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter never fully got the revelation, but he did tell him this, even though I know you don't know, just like I knew you were going to fall, I've still got work for you to do. I still have something for you. I still have something I want to bless you with. I have something I want you to do. I want to call you into blessing. I want to call you into purpose. I want to call you into something that only you and I really understand what I'm telling you. And I'm going to put this to you. And not only that, I want you to not be worried about everybody else. Worry about them in the sense of how you love on them, but don't worry about them in the sense of what are they supposed to do? What is their responsibility? So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 reinstates this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We've been reading this through our series. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away. All things have become new. And these things are of God. Everything new about you is of God. And so what I want us to draw from today is you are a new creation. And your temptation is going to get you try to stop from what God has made you to be. But you got to continue to press on to perfection. Press on to perfection because God loves you. God will show up in places and spaces. You think you're running from God, and guess what? God shows up on the shore. You go fishing and God shows up. And when he shows up, he's going to prove to you who he is. Stuff you've been trying to do and you can't get done because God is not in it. Then all of a sudden God shows up and it prospers. Why? Because God is with you. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm ready for this new creation life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you get something out of today? Yes. Amen. Listen, praise the Lord. We're going to pray.
Praise God and thanks for listening. Today's message was titled New Year, New Me, Part 3, Running Your Race. For more information about Abundant Life Worship Center, please feel free to check out our website at alwc.us. On our site, you'll find more information about us, our church and events calendar, and other messages that may be of interest to you. Once again, the site is alwc.us. You can also find us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/abundantlifeworship.net. God bless, and we look forward to seeing you on our next podcast. And until then, remember that Jesus came to give you life, and that more abundantly.